All right. Good afternoon. My name is Lynn Scarlett. I'm the co-chair of the Board of Adjustment. So we're going to call this meeting to order at 4:01. Would you mind Stephanie doing roll call, please?
Anderson?
Here.
Scarlett?
Here.
Youngberg?
Here.
Brecky?
Here.
McGill? Absent.
The first item on our agenda, well, I guess before we do that, did everybody sign in on the notepad? Okay, perfect. Thank you. The first item on our agenda is approval of the agenda. Do we need a motion or can we just... Okay.
You need a motion?
I need a motion.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Okay. And then roll call vote on that, or can we just by consensus say aye?
Roll call's fine.
Okay.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Brecky?
Aye.
All right, next item is minutes from our previous meeting. That was from February 17th. Did everybody have a chance to look at them? I know there's a change to the minutes with the adjournment time. Stephanie's made that change. We adjourned at 5:01. Any other changes that anybody saw? If not, motion to approve the minutes from February 17th.
So moved.
Second. Thank you. Roll call.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Brecky?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye. All right. We're going to be out of here fast. Okay. Next item is public comment. The public comment that this refers to is anybody who wants to talk about any item that isn't on this agenda. The only item we have on the agenda is the Center Grove Orchard. So if you're here to speak to anything else, we invite you to go to the podium. No? Okay. Then we'll move on to the hearing. And we are here to talk about conditional use permit number 3-08.1, a conditional use permit major modification for Center Grove Orchard. And first up will be Jerry to talk about the staff portion of it.
Hey, as you mentioned, this is a conditional use permit. It's a major modification. The applicant is Stephen Black. It's with the Center Grove Orchard. They're at 32835 610th Avenue. The conditional use permit includes the following items: the existing one-third scale train and tracks, which also includes associated buildings to be constructed around primarily the southern portion of the train track, and I'll show you where that's at. Also includes existing food store and food service items. The applicant has indicated that the food service items were a part of the 2008 conditional use permit, which is the first conditional use permit that was submitted. However, in reviewing that information, it was not as clear as it should have been with the submittal and with the actual findings from the Board of Adjustment and the Planning and Zoning Commission back in 2008. So those items, again related to the food store and food service, were added to this conditional use permit. This one also includes extended parking, primarily north of the existing parking area. A dog show. Back in October of last year, they added a dog show on weekends, primarily consisting of the use of frisbees and dogs and doing tricks and things, so that was added to this. And then the last thing includes a 60 by 52 square foot building that they would like to use for their customers to eat food indoors in, and I can show you where that's going to be. This conditional use permit came about from a complaint that we received in September of last year, primarily due to the addition of the train that was added, the increase in traffic and circulation concerns, speaker noise, which when we looked into it, the speaker noise came from the couple that was putting on the dog show in October. They were using outdoor speakers, and that's what was causing some concern to the adjacent property owners. And then the last thing that was a part of that complaint was garbage from the operation was ending up in the cemetery, which is in close proximity to this use. So this conditional use permit, as in addition to the first conditional use permit, which was granted in 2008, has everything to do with farm, retail, or novelty. For the most part, this is a definition of a use. Process-wise, the property is located in an A1 agricultural district. Applicants can do a farm, retail, or novelty use in an A1 district with the granting of a conditional use permit. And again, that's what happened in 2008, and that's what Stephen Black is requesting with this conditional use permit. So everything that he's able to do with regard to this use should relate in some way, shape, or form with farm, retail, or novelty. And I'll just read it. It says, a farm which is, in addition to crop and livestock production, offers services or products, whether seasonal or not, for sale to the public on site, which are uniquely tied to the heritage or current practice of agriculture in Iowa, including but not limited to tours, demonstrations, petting zoos, and the like, retail sales of fruits, vegetables, pumpkins, melons, berries, trees, or other agricultural crops. Then it goes on to say that this definition does not include activities that would be exempt. If you're exempt, then you wouldn't fall under this farm, retail, or novelty use. The conditional use permit that was granted in 2008, this is the synopsis of what that was for. This is what was what got approved. It says the Center Grove Orchard, which presently grows a variety of produce, including pumpkins, gourds, and apples, for retail and wholesale. Says in addition, on the property for which the conditional use is being sought, there are activities related to ag nature of the property, including corn maize, hay castle, farm animals, hayride, educational tours of the farm, corporate picnics and gatherings, birthday parties, as well as additional items. So that's what was a part of the 2008 submittal. This is a listing of items that Steve submitted that he was doing in 2008 with a comparison of things that he's doing today. Much of those things are similar. The biggest thing that probably stands out the most would be the addition of the 1/3 scale train. The property had a railroad right-of-way that extended through the property. There was a train that was and track that was constructed in the late 1800s through the early 1900s. And there was a depot, which I think Steve will talk to you about this in greater detail. But what they're trying to do with that 1/3 scale train is try to recreate the train and the tracks and the benefit that the train provided to not only his property but other properties in that area, serving the agricultural nature of the community. The current conditional use permit application was remanded back. It was before the Planning and Zoning Commission first, December 2, 2015. And at that meeting, it was decided that they needed additional information to make decisions. So the applicant and the staff were required to provide additional information. Those things that were submitted the second time around before it went to the Planning and Zoning Commission at their last meeting, March 2, are the following. A written narrative, which was a response to the alternative access. Outdoor speaker volume, and more information on the train. More information on traffic flows and comparison of operation from previous years to current years, 3 maps showing existing and proposed buildings and access location, a building legend. They wanted to know what buildings were on the property, what buildings are proposed, when were they built, and what were the uses of those buildings. Written responses to county staff were also provided. And then the county obtained information from the county sheriff's office for the last 3 years during the time periods that the Center Grove Orchard is in operation to try to get an idea as to what incidences, traffic-related-wise, there were during those periods. So we did provide that information in the staff rec. Location-wise, we're in Union Township. We're north of Highway 210. It's west of 610th Avenue. Several hundred acres is what's included. Primarily, the operation area, though, is in the southeast portion of all this. A little closer view, again, much of the buildings and the activity, the operation area is in the southeast part of the property. There are two adjacent dwellings, one to the south, one to the east. Land use-wise, there are some large agricultural parcels. The old train railroad right-of-way that intersected the property is just to the north here. It's curvilinear shape. It extended in an east-west orientation. There are some creeks, treed area to the southeast. There's a pond to the north, and the railroad one-third scale train and track is to the west of that pond. This is a synopsis that Steve provided on the existing buildings, when they were constructed, what those uses are. More detailed information. Customers come to building number one, which is where the country store is. That's where their food store is, where they sell food. And then they go through that building and end up in area two, which is where they buy their tickets to participate in the activities. Building number 19 is a food service building, and to the west or south is where they're proposing to build this new building for people to eat indoors. To the west of that is a building that they use for raising pigs and other livestock. And then to the southeast, that's primarily where the livestock are located. We're looking to the north of the main site area, west of the pond. This is where the railroad track is. There's about 4,000 lineal feet of track, and it somewhat forms a circular shape. Number 25, it shows that's where the train depot is proposed. Building 22, that's where Steve houses their equipment storage. This is one of the buildings for the train track. This will be located in the southeast portion of the track, 35 by 200. It's referenced as a grain elevator, and this is where he's planning on storing the train throughout the year as well. Train loading station, 20 by 90. This is where customers would start. After they pay for their ticket, they would get in line to enter the train. This is the proposed 60 by 52 building. Again, that would be located west or south of the building that's referred to as the feed bunk. And again, it would be located either where the blue, yellow, or the lavender color is. This is a drawing that was submitted in 2008. Shows you parking area, which is primarily the blue area to the right or east side. And then they do show some potential parking areas to the north and to the west. And this is the location that was addressed in the staff rec as a possible new location for an access. Steve has considered that location. There's concerns with using this location. The farm ground in that location is pretty decent. That's where they have their pumpkins. There's a concern about extending a long drive from that location to the north side of that building area, and then a concern about having customers come in, drive on the road, and then also meeting up with customers that are being dropped off from a hayrack ride, you know, where, because they are able to pick pumpkins, so you've got that going on too. So that's what this map shows. Again, blue would be parking areas. Yellow is operation areas. This is where the customers are circulating. Apple orchard area shows up as red. And then again, the purple areas where the pumpkin patches are. My understanding is they rotate their crops throughout, you know, different years. And then the where that purple star is, that's where the potential access was for consideration. And again, the black line represents the Hayrack ride. And again, there was a concern in using that access with customers driving through the drive and intermingling with customers who may be picking up pumpkins. This shows customer access, circulation, and parking layout. The center portion is reserved for handicap parking. There's about 30-some handicap parking spots there. To the north of that is primarily used for overflow parking. And then you can see a black line to the west here. Customers on real busy days can either grab a shuttle to this area or they can walk where this red line shows up to the main entrance of the operation. There's a concern raised with the complaint during the Planning and Zoning Commission meetings about traffic backing up on 610. And Steve will talk about this, but since 2014, they've developed a plan to try to get customers' vehicles off of 210 as quickly as they can by using this location right here to have them use these two areas to exit off of 610 into their parking lots.
Can you show us those two again? I didn't see the red.
It's primarily in this area right here. They'll either park in this location, which is the primary. They try to fill up this lot first, and then this one, and then as an overflow, they go to the north. The cemetery is right in here. This shows you bus route. Again, the buses are using that furthest north access. The delivery of goods and services are using that same access. This shows you the pond and the train track layout. The train station is shown in this southwest area. The elevator building that we showed you, southeast area. They are showing potential stockyards. When they say stockyards, they're talking about a few cattle, other livestock, and then they are planning to do like a prairie area. And the idea is that it would be educational. Either the conductor or the engineer would talk about, you know, different things that they see along the route, talk about, you know, the value of the train and its role for this area, role in agriculture and moving livestock and production items to and from market. And then you see the corn maze to the west of the train track. This is the train. It's a 1/3 scale. Again, its purpose is to replicate the train that went through that property. We're into the site photos. We took these back in November of 2015, and we're at the intersection of Highway 210 and 610th Avenue. We're looking to the west. You're looking at the Center Grove Orchard. Those are the primary buildings. That's that low area. There's a couple of elk in that area. There's also concern about the condition of the road. And, you know, for the most part, at the low area, there were a few washed out areas. But I think for the most part, condition-wise, it was fair or better than fair or average condition. Again, this was in November, right after their primary operation time. So this is the residence that's located to the east. Looking to the south, and then this is the residence that's on the south side of Highway 210. This is the main entrance area again. This is where people enter into the main building. We're looking at the main parking area. We're going to be panning west to east. That's looking north. You can kind of see some of the orchard to the north. There's the handicap parking. looking back out to 610th Avenue. We're inside the main building. This is where the store is, primary food service. You see some of the sitting areas. Again, this is where people pay. And now we're getting into some of the activity areas. This is called a corn pool. It's similar to like a sandbox, but it's full of corn. Pumpkins and gourds. This is like a livestock area. Pedal tractor track. Food service. This is the bunk, feed bunk. Again, they're proposing that building in this location for people to have an area indoors to eat items that they sell and serve. Activity area, looking to the west.
I have a question.
Sure.
And maybe I didn't read it correctly, but it said that the food, the building that they're proposing won't have food service in it. Okay, so how far away is it from the food sheds, and are people going to carry their food to that building?
I can show you the map. It's probably easier. They're still trying to figure it out, but it's either going to be directly west or south of the...
But they're still going to expect the people to buy their food and then take it over to this building?
Yeah, this is that food bunk, and then so it'll likely be here to the west or south. So it'll be in close proximity to where they do food service. So that's the food bunk, and that building will be in close proximity to that building. And then this is looking to the west. These are actually slides in this area. And then they have little miniature buildings that they sell, like walking tacos, crumbled apples, those kinds of things from those things. This is a building that they use for pig and other... races. These are like wheelbarrows used for customers to put their produce in. That's the pond. Again, that's on the north side of the site. There's the train. Again, this is not too long after it was installed. A little more on the track. We're at the cemetery now. And then you can see the area north of the cemetery they use for overflow parking. We're just south of the cemetery. Part of this is to kind of take a look at the cleanliness of the area. I was out there a couple times, and I saw probably two pieces of plastic outside of the cemetery. And through this process, Steve has worked with the president of the cemetery in working on an agreement where their staff will... take a look at the cemetery, surrounding area, right-of-ways, and pick up any items that they see.
What kind of schedule? Like weekly, daily?
It'd be every Monday
during operation. Okay.
This is just east of the cemetery. We're looking north. And again, this just shows you the road condition. We're into the analysis part. Chapter 90.04, standards for approval. There's six things that the Board of Adjustment is to consider in reviewing a conditional use permit application. This is the first one, which is compatibility. The Center Grove Orchard, as you saw from the photos, is located in a rural area of the county surrounded by ag crop ground. There are some creeks, drainage areas. There's a railroad that's probably within a mile or a mile and a half. And then there's a few scattered residential dwellings. The existing and proposed buildings are generally clustered, as we showed you, in the southeast area. The location for the proposed building for customers to eat would be located west of the food bunk. The train and the train tracks are again north of that old railroad right-of-way, which is it was the Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Paul Railroad, and it's west of the lake or the pond. Planning staff does understand the connection and comparisons that are trying to be made here with the novelty of the one-third scale train and the connection that it has with the train that previously ran through the property and its role and purpose in providing assistance with regard to agriculture in this area and the region. We also recognize the needs for trying to balance the concerns of the adjacent property owners and the impact that the operation has had on local roads and the area, as well as the concerns and needs for the applicant to manage their operation. Consequently, in support of the adjacent dwellings and property owners, staff do support reduced measures with regard to traffic on local roads and ways to try to limit the excess and noise. The Planning and Development Department has a work program every year, and one of the things that we were supposed to look at is farm retail novelty, and this issue kind of brought that up to the forefront. So it's become a priority for us. And again, right now we have a definition, and we're looking at ways to address future uses and try to come up with a way to limit impacts to not only the property but the surrounding uses. Another thing that you look at is transition. Again, most of these buildings are located in that southeast area of the site. It's north of the treat area and creeks, south of the pond, east of the rolling ag crop ground. These features do provide some buffering to the dwellings that are in the area. With regard to traffic information, again, from 2008, the estimates that were provided were around 400 visitors on a busy Saturday. On their peak Saturday in October, they were anticipating around 1,000 people. During the week, anywhere from 100 to upwards of 600 school children. The updates that were provided through this process from the applicant indicated that on their peak time, which is on a Saturday in October, approximately 2,700 vehicles. Putting a number to that per vehicle of three yielded over 8,000 people on their busiest day. And again, there's a buildup before that, and then there's a drop down in operation after that peak time period. But it did represent about 170% increase from what was projected from 2008 to current. And then in response to the traffic, well, we already mentioned that Steve worked out a system. He can talk about that further. He's been doing it since 2014 to try to get his customers off of 610, as soon as it's possible. Hours of operation, they do operate from the end of August through the end of December, 7 days a week, 9 to 7 p.m. They do offer extended hours for groups who make reservations. In November, they do reduce their hours from 10 to 5. And then on Saturdays, 8 to 5, Sundays, 8 to 4. I mentioned planning staff did receive information from the sheriff's office. There were about 94 incidences. And the information was collected from the intersection of 210 and 610th Avenue and the intersections to the east and west, and then the points all along there, along 210. And again, there were 94 incidences, 67 of those related to speeding issues, mostly warnings, some incidences with accidents involving animals, and a few other issues. But it's important to note that there was no way of knowing whether or not those people were going to the Center Grove Orchard or leaving the Center Grove Orchard. But we did throw out the issues that came up that were very early in the morning or late in the evening. So then to try to compare that with information from the State Department of Transportation, they did have traffic counts from 2011, and they refer to it as an average annual daily traffic count. For Highway 210 in this area, they came up with 1,250 vehicles. So again, on the peak day that was anticipated. This is double from what the average annual daily traffic count was. But they also show 70 cars for the same time period for 610. So you know that it's either before or after Center Grove Orchard operation. So again, without the benefit of having a traffic study, it's very difficult to really assess what the impact is. So that's one of the conditions, and I'll go through that in a minute. The other thing that you're to look at is parking and loading. There is no specific standard for farm, retail, or novelty. The standards that we do have anyway are maximum standards, but the parking lot just north of the buildings is about a 7-acre area. To the north of that is about another 17 acres. And then again, like I said, there's like 32 handicapped parking spaces. Signs and lighting. There were some issues with the first submittal with regard to signage and lighting. Those have been addressed. And then any requested improvements for signs and lights, Steve will need to contact our department for any permitting that might be needed. With regard to environmental protection, again, the buildings are adequate distance from creeks and drainage areas. The track was constructed, though. They didn't bring in dirt. They moved dirt around. But again, we're talking about 4,000 linear feet of track. There was no information provided to review with regard to that, so we do have a condition for Steve to reach out to a professional engineer to get some analysis with regard to impact on stormwater, soil erosion from an engineer. The applicants have hired somebody to do dust control. This is something that they do throughout their operation. It's a part of the conditions also. They do have garbage containers. I did see them. They actually have they built like little buildings, and they're housed inside these little buildings that kind of help keep the garbage to stay inside the container. As I mentioned, the noise from the speakers was a concern that was raised. And then planning staff does recognize that amplified sound, you know, can be potentially a nuisance if you live in an area like this, in a rural area. You know, if it's a sound that you're not used to hearing or that you don't associate with rural living. And then another thing that they're required to do, because of the size of the operation, the number of people that they're bringing, they've got a requirement to obtain a permit from the DNR, which they're in the process of doing that and getting a new system to take care of those needs. So that brings us to the conditions. Planning staff and to the Planning and Zoning Commission do support these conditions. We think these conditions do take into consideration the concerns of the adjacent property owners. They do take into account the needs of the applicant to operate their business. And we think it'll give planning staff, the Board of Adjustment, and the Planning and Zoning Commission the information, the specific information that's needed from a professional engineer to address the site conditions, to look into the traffic situation so that we can make better informed decisions in the future. So there's 9 conditions. The first one is annually during peak operating periods, the applicant shall have at minimum 2 dust control applications applied on 610th Avenue starting from the intersection of 210, Highway 210, and 610th Avenue to the furthest north overflow access north of the cemetery. Additional dust control applications may be requested to the Story County Engineering Department. 2, the applicant shall have an Iowa licensed engineer review the train track layout and provide a written statement that stormwater and water quality have been addressed using best management practices of the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and the Iowa Statewide Urban Design and Specifications Guideline for Erosion and Sediment Control, both identified in the Story County Land Development Regulations. If these items were not adequately addressed, the engineer shall specify the measures needed to comply with these items, and the applicant shall complete the measures within 1 year. 3, in accordance with the agreement between the applicant and the cemetery president, the applicant's staff shall walk the cemetery each Monday during the operating season to pick up any garbage located within the cemetery. In addition to the operating site, the applicant shall also check the adjacent road right-of-ways adjacent to their property and pick up any garbage each week. 4, the use of speakers outdoors is not permitted except for matters of public safety. The applicant may, however, submit a sound study or report from a professional sound company or related source addressing measures to adequately use outdoor speakers for the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment to consider. 5, the applicant shall hire an Iowa licensed engineer to conduct a traffic study on Highway 210 and 610th adjacent to the Center Grove Orchard property during peak and other operating times of the season for comparison and provide recommendations on any needed access, traffic, or road-related improvements where appropriate. The engineer shall contact planning staff prior to commencing with the traffic study to ascertain the basis and necessary details of the study. 6, this conditional use permit, including the current 2008 permit, shall be valid for 1 year. The Story County Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment shall reconsider the conditional use permit after reviewing and considering the results and findings of the traffic study at their regularly scheduled meetings 2 months prior to the end of the term of the conditional use permit to determine whether the conditional use permit shall be extended, conditions added, removed, or revoked altogether. Any suggested improvements from the traffic study that are required by the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment shall be completed at the applicant's expense and within the time limit determined by the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment. 7, the applicant shall conduct the planning and development department to learn if any future proposed activities or uses of the property meet farm, retail, or novelty use and about any required permitting process. 8, within 90 days, the applicant shall submit a safety plan to the planning and development department staff that addresses at minimum measures for protecting customers from hazardous weather conditions and other situations. The safety plan will be reviewed and considered by the Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment at the same meetings the traffic study is reviewed and considered. And finally, the last condition, within 1 year, the applicant shall submit a copy of the Iowa Department of Transportation, Iowa Department of Natural Resources certification for the proposed new wastewater treatment system and related information for the Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment to review and consider. That is my report. I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Anybody have any questions?
Okay. Yeah, so is there, have the taxes been increased to defray costs, you know, roads and stuff like that, or is that not?
The taxes to the property, that's probably a good question for Steve. The information each time was submitted out to, like, the assessor's department, and we didn't get any information as to what the impact of what's being requested, you know, what that would be on his current tax situation.
I know it looks like you're recommending that they do certain studies and so forth, which would definitely be an expense, but I was just curious if there was a protocol when a business, you know, grows like that, if there's taxes and so forth.
Right. Steve, you want to address that now with regard to taxation?
Whatever you want to do.
Do you want to hear from Steve on that?
You have a good one?
Yeah, please. Just state your name and address, too, please.
My name is Steve Black. My address is 32835 610th Avenue, Cambridge, Iowa. Your question as far as has the property taxes increased, I did notice an increase this past year. I don't remember if that would have been last March. I don't remember if it's March or September. But there was an increase. I don't know if it was overly substantial, maybe 10-15%. But as a side comment to that, as far as 610th goes, nothing's really changed as far as maintenance. So, like, when you ask if there's been an increase, yes, there has been a slight increase, but the maintenance of 610th has not changed because of the traffic or anything. You know, there's not like they're adding tons and tons of rock, or they haven't road graded the road a lot more. I mean, it's very much the same as status quo. So to offset it, yes, it's gone up a little bit, but I don't think I've seen anything in the roads that improved more or had more impact, if that makes sense.
Anybody else?
Does that address your question?
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and make your comments?
Yeah, if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, I'll just give you a little rundown. Jared did a pretty good job, but we opened our business in 1994. My mom and dad did. We were just a U-Pick apple operation with pumpkins and school tours. We started with a store and some hay rides up the pumpkin patch, and the reason we came across the conditional use permit was in 2007. I think I called, Leanne was working at the time with the plan zoning staff, and I said, I'd like to build a building, and she said, well, in order to do that, you have to have a conditional use permit. So we went through that process of applying for this permit in 2007-08 to build a building for food service and some restrooms. And when I look at the way the permit was worded in 2008, I didn't have anything to do with that. I explained to them what I wanted, and then they asked me questions. I filled out the stuff they wanted, and I submitted all the information. But I didn't have any control over how the permit was written. I thought it was pretty clear that I wanted it for food service, and we had a store existing, so I don't know why those were in the not the permit the first time, but that's why Jerry has them in this time. In the permit, on the second one here, there's also parking north of the cemetery, and I think that map kind of showed that was in my submittal as well in the first write-up too. So, and we actually are using that parking lot for overflow. The other thing I wanted to point out was when you look at what we did in 2008 compared to what we're doing now, it's other than maybe two or three activities we've added, it's basically we're doing about the same thing. We have food service in the farm. We have a retail store. We sell our apples. We do U-Pick apples and pumpkins. We have basically the same activities we did in 2008 as we do now. Not much has changed. The only thing that's different is more people come now than they did back then. So we're doing basically the same thing with a few extra added activities. That was basically all I really had to got up. I guess, do you have any questions? Because there's just so much information. I don't know what you have questions on the most. I can go into a lot of different details. I don't know how much it impacts on what you're looking for. Jerry covered a lot of it.
Anybody have any questions for Steve?
Can you talk a little bit more about the parking?
Sure.
You mentioned that.
Do you mind bringing up the parking lot map? Sure. Do the one that has the flow and all the little arrows and stuff on it.
Stop me when you see it.
Okay. One more. That one right there. Okay, so I don't have a laser pointer, but so what we originally had was. Thank you. So originally what we did. Back in when we first opened, this was our parking lot in 2008, the main driveway. Cars would come in, and they would kind of park this way, and we could park maybe two cars at a time. So in 2013, we did have one day where it was a really rainy year. Then all of a sudden, one day was really nice, and a bunch of people showed up. And what happened was cars started backing up this road because they're coming one driveway, and we couldn't park them. So I realized right away that we couldn't have that happen. So for 2014, the very next year, what we did is I kind of did the parking lot where cars would main enter on this driveway on a busy day. So cars would enter, we'd flag them past that driveway entrance to here. They enter in and they come down, and at this point they can come down several different parking areas, so the flow comes really smoothly. Everybody enters and then they exit out this driveway here. Once this lot's full, or if a lot of cars are coming at the same time, we have an option to run cars this way and up this driveway at the same time. So you can literally just park like tons of more cars at the same time and just keep cars moving in, and the cars come up here. So we park here, come back and park here again. We could let cars exit out this driveway. So they enter this driveway and exit this way. The cars come in here, enter this driveway and exit that way, and the flow works really well. We also have another spot right here where we come in and park just a handful of cars here. Then if all these lots get full, we block all these driveways. We take cars all the way up to here. We made a crossing right here. We get cars all the way over here. We provide a shuttle. We probably use this lot maybe 3, maybe 4 days a year, and then we shuttle them from here to here. out of the way of any other cars traffic. It's pretty safe. We drop them off here, and they walk the walkway up this door. And the store main entrance is kind of below the picture here. Handicap parking's here. There's, I guess, Windows parking lot also includes this and this. So that's kind of how the flow works. Once we switch this parking lot flow, I have never seen cars back up very far. If the only reason would be is we have a person stationed here. Every once in a while, someone would stop and ask them a question, and then this stops people from getting in. We normally just try to get them in right away so that they're not on the road, because it seems like to get them off the road is the best we can. But so we've ran this parking lot system for two seasons now, 2014 season and this past 2015, and since then it's made a world of difference. I mean, we can handle a lot of cars where it's a very low impact. Cars don't back up. The flow works really well coming in here, coming out. On weekdays, we have the school buses come up this way. They come up, they pull up here, they'll unload the kids. Either can sit here or they can go back around and park in the back. And also on the weekdays, delivery trucks come in this back way, come in this way. On a weekday, the main traffic comes in and out this driveway only. It's really slow. We don't have a lot of people coming. They come and come out here. It's pretty quiet. They park over here. Trucks, buses go around them. So it kind of has a better flow to it.
Did that help?
Yep. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Do you ever get people parking on the gravel road?
No.
Okay.
So when we first started parking up here, we had problems with this amount of cars coming up and back and shuttling. That's when we started, made a crossing in 2014 to get people over here. We have never run, this field also has more parking. We've never actually ran out or had people even try. We wouldn't even let them. I mean, we get them right off the road. There's farmers still farming. I farm too, so our trucks and tractors are going up and down the road, so we haven't even had anybody even try. We always have a spot for them off the ground.
And do you always have a parking lot attendant?
On weekends only.
Okay.
So on a weekday, there's some signs set up for parking right here, and then people just kind of figure it out on their own. It's really slow on a weekday. Weekends, maybe the middle of September, maybe the last week of September, but then we do have a parking attendant when we actually start getting people in, just to keep the flow and keep people reassured that they're going to the right spot and keep them off the road and flowing, and it just seems to work a lot better and it's a lot safer.
Who owns that field to the east?
This one?
Yep.
Brown. I don't remember his first name.
Is he farming it?
No, Jerry Ryerson farms it.
Okay, do they have, do they have a, because weather is very dependent on when picking gets done, is, September usually people are picking, and is that an issue with him getting into that field?
No, they actually own from right here to here. This driveway is theirs.
Okay.
Jerry actually combined this field on our busiest day.
Okay.
So he actually picked his, I think it was soybeans, he picked his beans that day and used this road and didn't seem to have a problem. I saw him roll in that morning. He didn't say anything to me. He didn't call or anything.
Okay.
I never even saw him. He had his beans done that Saturday. It was a Saturday. This next field over here is farmed by Jeff Longnecker. He also picked his corn October 17th. And he called me the morning before saying, hey, I'm going to move. If that's a problem, can you stop traffic or something? I said, no problem. I did the year before. And the year before I sat there, we had another guy there. We stopped all traffic from leaving. He drove his combine tractors through to get up by because he didn't want to take his head off. He just on the road. So didn't have any problem. He combined that field. I think he has bins on his site. But I don't remember which way he takes his grain, but he did it the next weekend. So as far as Jerry, I didn't hear anything from him, and he got his beans combined that day.
Okay. Just want to make sure there's some sort of working relationship of if they have to get in on.
Oh yeah, we tell the parking lot kids or whoever's running the spots, the tractors and regular food traffic have priority. So make sure that everybody's out of the way and they can get through.
Randy, any other questions?
No.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us?
I can't think of anything else unless you want to go over any other options we're doing, the proposed building or the training or anything like that. I could briefly go over it. Otherwise, I don't really have anything. Jerry did a pretty good job of explaining everything of what we're doing.
Well, if you don't mind, if we need to, we can ask you questions.
You bet.
Okay, perfect.
You bet.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, now we're going to open it up to those of you sitting in the audience. So if you would like to make a comment, we ask that you go to the podium and state your name and address. And we'll open it.
Wilma Jean Longnecker, and I live south of 210. There's one question that I haven't heard addressed, and it's about fire. What I was thinking is, say in October, and usually on Saturdays and Sundays, I think, are your big days, and the weather's lovely. Okay, this is what I was curious about. What if there's a fire, and all these cars are on 210 going to, which would be going east, and the fire trucks need to get through. There may need to be, say, like there's a tractor fire or a grass fire or even somebody's home. How would that business work? Because usually they come out 210 to go to that area. So I think that's something that should be addressed. One other thing that Steve said the other day that I questioned, when he said about the railroad, like he didn't think that it would make more people come. Well, I can't think but what the railroad will increase attendance, because if you recall, there was one at the fair and it was always a big drawing card. So I think the more people that you get, the more trouble, the more problems you're going to have with traffic. And also, like on 210, when you come up there, I come from the south, and many times I want to turn left to go to Ames. Well, if there's a lot of traffic, I'm sitting there for quite a long time. The other question I have is there a limit to the size of this type of a facility can grow to, or does it just go on with no limits? Those are just my questions.
Can you address the fire question?
Yeah. As far as the fire on 210, seem mostly to go past the traffic. I don't know how to make a comment on the going beyond. We do every year or every other year meet with Cambridge Fire Department and just walk the grounds and property and show them around stuff and have plans for them to get to our property. For as far as traffic going down Highway 210, there isn't, I don't watch 210 a lot, but it's not like there's a solid stream of cars. There's a consistent stream of cars, maybe the tune of maybe five cars a minute going by. It's not like a solid just caravan of vehicles they can't get through. I guess that's my only comment.
Jerry, do you have anything to add?
Well, 210 is a state highway, and usually when there's an emergency vehicle with lights and sirens, in most cases there's space to pull over so that they can go around. But that's part of the benefit, I think, of having a traffic study be done, so that issues like that or questions like that can maybe be addressed. I think there was another question too.
A limitation on size of a business growing.
Yeah, I mean, right now.
Is that what you're trying to figure
right,
out?
Right. Yeah. Right now, we just have a definition with no parameters, and so going forward, you can probably count on having some type of factor to try to deal with the growth question. But currently, there really isn't anything in place.
Since most of your traffic comes off of 210 and turns north on 610, right? Mm-hmm. Is there easy, since I'm not familiar with quite as many gravel roads down that around your place, is there easy access from the north besides, no, okay. How long is 610? What's the, if you go north, how many miles is?
From 610th Avenue north to our property, this laneway here is about 1,200 feet.
On the north side of your property, on that's 610, right?
So
on the gravel road.
Yeah. So.
So when? What's the next paved road to the north?
Oh, all the way up here. It'd be up to E63. It'd be 2 miles north of us on gravel.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
I mean, so that there could be an alternate route at some point if need be, or.
So this is Highway 210. We are 5 miles from the interstate to here, and then straight up. We actually have some traffic come from S14, maybe down from 30 too.
Okay.
But to have anybody come from E63 and come down is by no fault means a direct route. It's pretty much out of the way.
Okay.
I know this would be an added expense, but when I worked at United Way, we would have an event out at the church across from the country club on George Washington Carver, and we could hire county deputies to come out and control traffic, but it was only for maybe half an hour to an hour. And I don't know if that would be something to consider on the busy weekends especially.
I don't... The 210 is being a state highway. I don't really know. Are you mean on 210 or on, you mean 610th or which one?
I guess I'm just thinking that intersection.
210 intersection.
Yeah.
I don't really know what it takes. I know being the state highway, there's a lot of regulations and rules that I can't even really control.
Okay.
It's like even if you ask them to do something, they have their rules and stuff that you have to follow.
Right.
I don't know what it takes to get something done on the state highway.
Okay.
But when you get on the 210 or the 610th, excuse me. We have about 7 staff members usually in a parking lot. It works pretty well. I just don't know how to adjust the state highway.
So how far is it from 210 to your first driveway? Is it
from this is 210 to our first driveway, which is here, is I think it's 1250 to the second driveway. So somewhere around 1,000 feet to 1,200 feet to the first two driveways.
Okay. Anybody else have a question? Not right now? Okay. Does anyone else want to speak? We don't, I promise. Any other questions for staff or for Steve before we close this portion of the meeting and start our deliberation? No? Okay. Well, with that said, then we'll close this the hearing. And Stephanie, were there any other letters that were received or anything other than what Marilyn Apple submitted?
Do we need to address any of these with
any of her concerns?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to address any of Marilyn's concerns?
We can generally concern about. Occasionally, they see customers walking on 610th, and concerned about farmers using 610 during operating times.
And I guess my question is, why would any child ever be on 610?
Generally,
that doesn't happen.
No, since 2014.
since 2014, when we redid the parking lot, we got them to park really far away from 610th. I honestly have never seen anybody since 2014 or 2015 ever walk on 610th.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but I have never seen anybody. I spend a lot of time in the parking lot because that's a big thing for me, is making sure the flow is right.
Okay.
The last thing that she said, too, there was a concern about noise, to make sure that it still remains a rural area,
right,
and that the noise doesn't get out of hand.
Did that pertain mostly, though, to the sound system issue?
It doesn't say specifically, just in general, because of the operation, I think.
All right, so we've closed our hearing, and now we get to discuss what our options are. We have, from our staff report, we have 4 options, 4 alternatives. The Story County Board of Adjustment acknowledges. It's on page 12 of your packet.
It's on your screen, too.
Oh, it's on your screen, too. Okay, thank you. Do you want to read those to us, or should I?
I can do that. It's easier.
Go ahead.
Okay. The first item to consider is, number one, the Story County Board of Adjustment acknowledges the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission to approve the conditional use permit with the 9 conditions as put forth in case CUP 3-08.1, however, approves the CUP without any conditions. 2, the Story County Board of Adjustment acknowledges the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission and approves the conditional use permit with the 9 conditions as put forth in case CUP 3-08.1.
Three, the Story County Board of Adjustment acknowledges the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, however, denies the conditional use permit as put forth in case CUP 3-08.1 with the nine conditions. Four, the Story County Board of Adjustment postpones decision on the conditional use permit as put forth in case CUP 3-08.1 and directs the applicant and or staff to address specific areas for additional information for further review and or modifications for review at the next meeting, which would be April 20th.
So those are our four alternatives. We know what the nine conditions were from our staff report also that Jerry read to us.
Just a question on the denial. Can you explain that a little? So that was the earlier one that was denied?
Well, if you're going to deny it, it would be denying this conditional use permit request.
Okay.
But I think what staff and what the Planning and Zoning Commission would recommend would be item two, which is to approve this conditional use permit with those nine conditions.
And one of those conditions was the traffic report, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
And can we address in that Wilma's question about fire, if that's something that could be stipulated?
That could be added to it.
I think that would be a question for the Cambridge Fire Department. Because they, you know, I mean, I believe that's a very valid concern. But as you stated, state law says with flashing lights behind you, you need to pull over. So to me, if there's not all state roads, though, have adequate pullovers. So that's why maybe the Cambridge Fire Department would be the people to consult on that.
So that wouldn't automatically be included in the traffic study? Is that emergency vehicle type situations?
I wouldn't say automatically. So
it could
you
be
want that to be addressed by an engineer or the Cambridge Fire Department, then I would suggest adding
that. I would defer to the fire department.
So that might be an appropriate additional condition.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
In regards to the safety plan that needs to be submitted within 90 days, is there and then discussed in a year, is there, then do you just use the suggested safety plan?
Well, I think before the meeting, they don't have a safety plan. So one of the commissioners is a safety officer, and that's how that came up. So, and this is something that Steve and his staff and his owners can put together. It's not something that they have to go out and seek
okay.
the advice of a consultant on.
I would like to make a motion. Before I do that, I would like to just state my personal reason for the one I'm choosing is that I have both city and rural backgrounds and business. And so I think what you've produced here is a very, very wonderful opportunity for people who don't live, you know, in rural Iowa to experience some of the things out there and are trying to do it as a, you know, business and I think the cooperation between you wanting to keep this successful with what complies, you know, to the county, to the consideration of your neighbors can all work together. And obviously with, as you've reported, this is something that has brought to the forefront something you need to do as a county. And so I'm satisfied with all the things that have been put forth as to what he has to do in order to make the county approval and such, which obviously meets with the neighbors. And like I said, I was concerned with how they were getting into their fields if there was going to be a traffic jam and such. So if, as long as there are working relationships going on here, I would like to make a motion to accept number 2.
Will you be adding a condition with regard to the
fire?
Cambridge Fire Department, or do you want staff to reach out when we get information?
Yes.
From the report from the engineer?
Yes.
And have them weigh in on it?
Yes. I mean, as long as the Cambridge Fire Department feels that there is no major concern for throughway, I would accept, or I would like to make the motion to accept number 2.
So we have a motion for approving the CUP 3-08.1 with the 9 conditions and the addition of the Cambridge Fire Department piece. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. We have a motion and we have a second. So now we need a roll call vote.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Brecky?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
So, motion passes. Okay. You're welcome. Right. Next item on our agenda is any comments from staff?
I don't really have anything else other than, I think the last time I mentioned that we're heavy to the C2C comp plan.
Mm-hmm.
And really had a really good last meeting with the Citizens Advisory Task Force and our last open house session in Ames. The project team met yesterday for a few hours. We're meeting again on the 29th, and the goal is to try to review it for any edits, typos, things like that, cover to cover, and get that information to the Planning and Zoning Commission for review. They're going to consider it at their April 6th meeting, and then they'll have a hearing in May to adopt the plan. It'll also go to the Board of Supervisors sometime in May with the goal of having the board adopt the document in June. So I encourage you to take a look at it. It's on the county's website, c2cplan.com.
Okay. Thank you. Stephanie, anything you want to tell us? No?
No.
Anything from the board?
No.
All right. Will we have an April meeting?
I don't know that we know yet.
Okay. All right.
We may.
All right. Well, with that said, then we will adjourn. Do you need a motion, or can we just adjourn?
A motion.
So moved. Can we all say aye, or do you want to roll call?
Whatever you want to do, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Then it's official.
Who made the motion and who seconded it?
I made the motion.
She moved. We'll say Randy seconded.
I'll second.
I just like to say so.
Brecky?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye. Thank you for coming.
Very helpful on the good point on the fire.